This is Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. And with us now is Ben Harrington, who is a freelance business journalist and also the editor of the Beaterville website. Ben, good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
So you've been reviewing the Sunday papers. What's caught your eye?
Well, the Sunday Times had a very interesting splash story, main story, lead story on the front page. I'll just bring up the paper here just so your viewers can see it, which was written by John Collingridge, who I've worked with, and Oliver Shah, who I've also worked with when I've done a bit of freelance work around there. Anyway, the thrust of the story is that Schroders, which is one of the largest shareholders in house builder Bovis, had written a letter to a rival house builder, Barclay, arguing or asking for it to consider the idea of trying to sort of merge or buy Bovis. That's because Schroders, one of the well-known fund managers there, Andy Brough, who's quite can be quite abrasive. I think he's pretty annoyed with the situation at Bovis. Chief executive left a month or so ago following some issues around house building and profit forecasts. So,
isn't this one of those situations with the tail wagging the dog? I mean, who's more important, the fund manager, the investor, or the company itself?
Obviously, there's no guarantee that, it's a good question, it doesn't mean that they're guaranteed that there will be a deal. You know, what if one of the biggest shareholders decides that they, you know, want the company to consider a deal, the company obviously has to, company's board obviously has to reflect on that, but it doesn't guarantee that there will be a merger.
Yeah.
The shares are only up about 3% this morning. Partly also, I suspect, because the Sunday Telegraph was trying to sort of downplay the idea that Barclay will make an approach for Bovis. Mm. But I think this story effectively puts Bovis in play. I actually remember I had a story once where I had an on-the-record quote, exclusive on-the-record quote from Andy Brough, following an aborted bid story, he was effectively the shareholder in the target company, which was Venture Production at the time, and he went on the record to say that he'd consider selling his 10% stake in Venture Production, and eventually that led to the sale of Venture Production to Centrica. Who I'd previously reported was considering a bid, and that happened about 2 months later, after the original story that I ran with Andy Brough's quote. So he does often get his way. Mm. Not always, but he does often get his way.
I wouldn't like to get in the way of Andy Brough either, I have to say. It's a very powerful figure in the city.
Do you know him?
No, he's way above my level, but I know who he is. He's a legend. I mean, he's a legend in the fund management area. So, you know, there's probably five people you can count. You know, from Woodford, him. It was just very, very few people who are in that.
Richard Buxton.
In that godlike position of being able to move markets. Hmm.
So that was a good story, I thought, by John and Oliver. The Sunday Times also had a piece on Weetabix.
Yeah.
Which has been put up for sale by the Chinese company China Bright Foods, which bought Weetabix from private equity firm Lion Capital in 2012 for about £1.2 billion. That story was in the Sunday Times about how one of Italy's biggest pasta makers, a company called Barilla, or Barilla, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, is considering a bid for Weetabix, which has been put up for sale by China Bright Foods. The Sunday Telegraph also had some lines about on Weetabix as well, talking about some of the other bidders. It's quite early stage in the auction process. I think Goldman Sachs were only appointed late last year, so I suspect we there probably will be a deal there, but not for another couple of months.
Yeah. Well, obviously, everything was dominated over the weekend by Trump. Are there any stories that were sort of pushed through at that time, just so people perhaps wouldn't notice because Trump was overshadowing everything?
Not really on the M&A world, but there was a story that came out over the weekend on Bloomberg that caught my eye because there's been a bit, few rumours in the market already about this company called Sinosure, which I'm not sure if you've ever heard about it. It makes lasers for medical and cosmetic treatments. Mm. Sort of US small cap, about $1 billion or so company. Bloomberg reporting that the company's talking to investment banks with a view to appointing one to carry out a strategic review, which is normally means that the company's looking at a sale process. The reason why that caught my eye was there's also been a few rumours around a company called Zeltic Aesthetics, which again is a medical technology company listed over in the US, roughly about a billion dollar market cap. And I've been working on a story around that, where there is a little bit more detail than I'd like to talk about on the show, but I haven't quite bottomed it all out yet. Yeah. So keep an eye out on Betaville later this week or over the next few days.
We should have
more. I may be able to follow it up there.
Fantastic, Ben. That's all we've got time for. So thank you so much.
Great.
Ben Harrington there, who's a freelance business reporter and also the editor of the Betaville website.